Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Are you excited about going to the show?
What show?
The UID show.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how it goes down.
Yeah. I hear the crowds are really raucous.
You driving or am I driving?
It doesn't matter.
If I drive, we don't stop for cops no more.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
I did ho wrong.
What do you say? Yeah.
You said I did it wrong?
No. So
was it out of tune?
No, we're recording on Skype, and so that is like, so the way that I test for lag is to go when I say hey, you say ho, hey. See, and you already messed up. No, and then the person says ho in response, and if it's a couple of seconds, I know that the call is laggy. And we probably need to restart it. What I was saying was you said ho just fine there, and that just led me to believe that you were just kind of being really slow in response when we recorded that intro part.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good work. Thanks for the explanation.
What I don't want is a lot of like weird silence after one of us speaks. You know, and
sure.
You know, it's hard to tell sometimes. If it's lag or if it's you just like reading something on your phone while you're waiting for your turn to talk.
No, I don't use my phone.
Okay. Yeah.
I have this giant computer screen in front of me.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna play on my phone. I'm gonna play.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about stuff?
Yeah, I think we could
like stories.
Yeah, well, I feel bad that we missed last time. We were pretty good for a while, but it was just circumstances conspiring, let's say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True story, man. So yeah. Here's a story.
Oh, well, not really a story. We have to do the thing. Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
203,
I think.
Is it 203?
Maybe.
Good job.
Let me go to the site and check. That's why I named the file. No, it's 202. I just fucked up. Yeah. 202 of what?
Of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah, your name is?
Chris.
And my name is Cole, and we're here to entertain your asses.
Cool.
Yeah.
We did that.
Yeah. Huh, you have a story for me though. We're getting right into it. No? Oh.
No, it's not a story.
It's not a capital S story, but you just have information you want to convey to me in a narrative form.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, it's not even a narrative form. It's more like, what are your thoughts?
Okay.
I've always wanted, you're on the verge of being self-employed.
Correct. Yeah.
But I'm kind of too, but you know, businesses to start them are really, really expensive most of the time.
I mean, yeah, like a traditional thing you have to like lay out for capital. For like assets and stuff
right.
like that, yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like there's no shortage of people in the line at drive-thrus, like for fast food. So I thought I'd start looking into what franchise costs are.
Okay.
And I found out that, is it Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A, what my coworkers lovingly call Christian chicken.
Christian chicken. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
You only have to have $10,000 to get into a franchise for Chick-fil-A.
Jesus God, that's like are you putting like a down payment on a loan that they will finance for you or something?
No, there's no net worth requirements either.
Huh.
But there's higher than average ongoing costs.
Right.
But they get like 20,000 applications a year and they only take 75 to 80.
Okay.
They like interview you, drug test you, talk to family, friends, high school guidance counselors, all of it.
Oh, because my like my suggestion would be to like start a Chick-fil-A restaurant and then just kind of slowly, like, you know, maybe you cloak it for a bit, but slowly, hey, maybe every employee is a leather daddy. You know, just maybe
could be.
Yeah.
I guess for Jesus.
Yeah, leather daddies for maybe we can talk about
leather daddies for Lord.
we can talk about the for Jesus part. I think what's really important is that we just fill this place with leather daddies.
It could be.
Yeah.
But you know that when you have a franchise, you it's not like you have to have a company, a corporation.
Right. You're doing business as Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, like, you know, Wide World of Golf Shoes or whatever you wanted to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, DBA Chick-fil-A, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just wondered if you wanted to do this with me, if you wanted to open a Chick-fil-A.
I feel like I've laid my terms out pretty solidly. As long as we can initiate Operation Leather Daddy. I think.
Okay, I'll concede that, but yeah. I have to have something else, too.
What else do you need to have?
$5,000? I need you to agree to the company name.
Oh gosh, this is tough. We have a history of disagreeing about names.
Right.
Yeah.
Pollos Hermanos?
They have to put the question mark on it. It's definitely more accurate for us, isn't it?
The Chicken Brothers?
Yeah. No, it's been a few years. I think we can fly. We can let that fly, you know.
Could be.
Yeah, we can get that under the radar. It's you know, that shouldn't be a problem. I feel like Pollos Hermanos was definitely cloaked, right? Because it was a subsidiary of Madrigal International, right? And there were actually no Chicken Brothers, right? It was just Gus.
Right. Well, this would be a, you know, Pollos Hermanos would be a subsidiary of Duck Feed.
Right. Right. No, I mean, absolutely. Like, we would be controlling the strings. You know, it's shells on shells on shells. It's kind of a shell game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I
Whose second cousin is?
What?
Theodore Halliburton.
This one goes all the way out to Putin.
Right.
Yeah. Theodore Halliburton. Oh, man. Is that 30 Rock?
I don't know. Is it?
Maybe. Yeah. It feels like something Tracy Jordan would say, but it's hard to tell.
Mm. Yeah, it could have been absorbed.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. We watch these shows while we fall asleep, so who knows how much like neuro-linguistic programming is happening here.
You remember the other day when we were talking about like graduation, and then we went to high school graduation, and you said that they give you that empty folder.
Yeah, if you fuck up, like, or, you still walk, but you don't get anything.
Right, but even more over than that, those folders are empty.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that they can try to like keep you from doing something stupid.
Right. Well, it's also,
and then if you make it through, then
yes, to keep you from doing something stupid on the stage. Right. Like,
right.
Hey, you know, Mr. Hall hands me my folder. And then, like, oh, fuck this, I got my diploma. And then just all of a sudden you just drop a deuce on the stage, you know, throw up double peace signs and just scramble up the stands in the gymnasium as you just piss all over. Yeah. No, those folders are empty, and then they make you, it's like, oh, okay, then you take your diploma certificate and then walk to the concession stand where they would sell chips and pop during basketball games, and mm-hmm. then they give you the actual diploma.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That conversation actually made me remember or realize, Chris, I don't know where my bachelor's degree is.
Can you get a new one?
I don't know. Do I have to go back? Is this like a Rodney Dangerfield situation?
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe you decided to use it for something.
Fuck that.
Starting a charcoal grill.
That's giving it too much credit.
Well,
no,
that degree came in handy.
Whew. I mean, kinda. I'm after it took a bit. I have worked and continue to work in a field that is directly related to that, which is okay, I guess. But No, we had that conversation on the phone earlier this week, and I stopped and thought, where's my diploma at for college? That thing that I still, you know, write the check for every month. It might be at mom's house. It might be at mom's.
Did you cut it in half? Yep. Half for them, half for you.
Yep, I just I cut it into little locket sized portions, and then I distributed those to people who were, man, I was about to say who were important to me, but you didn't get one, so that would be really bad. Mm-hmm. No, I was joking about that. That was a joke.
The comment that I made back to that whole high school diploma thing and them holding it so you don't do something stupid was about like school shootings.
Oh Jesus!
Like. Okay, and I said, you know, how many people would actually, you know, say something to the effect of, well, I'm going to shoot every motherfucker in here. Do you know why? Because I can get my GED in prison.
Yeah,
that is pretty much an excuse to do anything you want ages 17 and under.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You can do anything you want because you can always get your GED in prison.
Yeah. It's fine. This is a nation of second chances. You know, only Americans get second acts. I think the great Gatsby taught us that. Yeah, which you may or may not know, depending on when you decided to go to prison to get your GED.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I just you could get out anything you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. When, you know, why'd you do that, Jimmy? Why'd you do that, Jimmy? Because I can get my GED in prison.
Oh man, I think back on it and I look at the people around me and just now that I understand exactly how my education has contributed to where I'm at in life, I think most of the good things that have happened have been as a result of the things that I have undertaken my own time separate from the structure of education. And if I could send any piece of knowledge back to myself at like age, let's say 16, it would be to drop out, just get your GED as quickly as possible, and then focus all of your time on working on your own projects. Don't go to college, or if you do, go just move to a different place and like focus yourself on actually directing yourself and don't waste the time actually doing this other thing. I genuinely believe that probably would have been better for me.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because where did this whole recording stuff start?
Oh, it happened in.
You were given the opportunity in college. You were given the opportunity in college to to talk into a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, if you didn't go to college, were you going to be confronted with that same opportunity? I mean, I think you're talking about two different types of education.
Oh,
education about yourself during that time, mm-hmm. and having new opportunities.
Oh, certainly.
Because if you would have stayed here and just worked at Meijer.
Oh, fuck no. Yeah, that wouldn't have been.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Thinking about it, like just take all of this back and say, focus and work on this because, you know, on the education about yourself as opposed to the other stuff. And that is what has actually ended up mattering.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is the fact that, you know, that the college has become so important, mm-hmm. and so much as, you know, part of what we do that, it's a testament to how little people know about themselves,
mm-hmm.
because people who know that they're going to be a doctor, they're like, okay, well, I'm going to hurry up and graduate high school when I'm 16 and then I can be out of medical school by 20, you know, 25 or whatever. And, you know, there's very few people that without that experience,
yeah,
you know, come to find out.
Yeah.
Like you, I mean, who would you be without that experience?
I don't know.
You'd probably be an attendant at Ruby Tuesdays on the salad bar.
Fuck that. Yeah, no. I don't know.
That's my hypothesis.
Yeah. Who knows? And that also probably has a lot to do with, you know, where you're at, too. There's not a lot at Mansfield, but that's why I said, like, find a way to move somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a flight of fancy. I don't know that I would trade the experience that I got. Just looking back and thinking about the value, the most valuable thing that happened to me in college was that I decided to start doing college radio.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that dominated the rest of your time.
Right. Yeah. It was my project, my ongoing thing, and that ended up being pretty important. I never did it for a grade. Like, I never actually did a show for credit. What happened was I just always did it extracurricularly. The thing that I did for a grade was actually like when I was the programming manager at the station, or the programming director.
You got a grade for that?
Yeah, because it was part of a class. It was part of like Bearcast leadership.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took a class on radio leadership.
Yeah.
I guess that's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. I graduated at possibly the worst time for that stuff because nothing they really taught us had anything to do with the internet. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it was all about like terrestrial and like maybe they talked about like the books that we had talked about satellite radio as like this looming threat in the future to terrestrial radio. Like there was nothing like like there is nothing like, so this was in, so I did college radio between 2006 and 2010 when I graduated. There was never anything about podcasts, like outside of like maybe a mention in a new media class. Like I got up at meetings and like taught sessions on how to turn shows into podcasts. I was like, you fucking need to do this. Yeah.
Ahead of the times.
I mean, like 2006 to 2010, that's when podcasts were happening. That's where like all of the really big stuff got in on the ground floor, you know, like UID started in 2006. You know, You Look Nice Today was in 2007. Like that was a really big time for that kind of stuff. Hmm. Yeah. And we just were not being taught about it at all. And that's a shame because like literally anybody can do this.
Some people, I could think they need the degree.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we had more potato farmers who had degrees, that'd be a good thing.
What do you mean?
It looks like the McCain Foods USA is recalling a whole shit ton of frozen hash browns that are sold in a bag.
Oh. I saw this, yeah.
Because they're contaminated with, quote, here they say, quote, contaminated with extraneous golf ball materials.
So are they shredding up them taters in the same facility that they're recycling golf balls?
Thought it was a golf ball washer. Like an industrial, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now they say that they were, quote, inadvertently harvested with potatoes used to make this product. Consumption of these products may pose a choking hazard or other physical injury to your face.
Right, right. Or it'll get lodged in your appendix like a jagged metal crustio.
Yeah, right. Wow. Yep, 9 states. If you look on the back of your bag and if you open your bag and it screams 4, then you should probably take them back.
Yeah, and also if you pick, like, I guess, a blade of grass out of your teeth, maybe? Yeah, golf balls get funky.
Yeah, that could be expected in a bag of potatoes.
Right, right. Yeah, so how does this happen? Like, does somebody just fuck up which hopper they back up to the shredding machine? Like, I don't...
No, I think people were hitting golf balls into a field of potatoes. And they got harvested by the automatic, you know, machines that dig up potatoes.
Right, right. Yeah, that's also... Right. That is the other scenario that I would... So the idea of, like, well, oops, all golf balls.
Ah, damn it.
See, this is dismaying to me because what it tells me is, have I told you about my quest to cook hash browns properly?
No. I missed that.
No, so it's not really a quest. Like that is nonsensical. I decided, like, hey, hash browns sound really good. Not home fries, but like crispy long shreds of potatoes.
House.
Yeah, just, you know, like crispy on the outside and then they've got kind of like a creamy little inside. And those are incredibly difficult to make, I have found. And so, like, the past couple times I've gone to the grocery store, I'd get a bag of frozen hash browns, and I'd just, you know, try and cook them because, you know, I want to expand my horizon. I love breakfast food. That is more breakfast food I can make at home. And I haven't done this recently, so I haven't gotten a shred of golf ball in my teeth. But this is going to scare me off of it for a little bit, I think.
You put them in there frozen or not frozen?
Sit them out. You sit them out. You know, so they're not like full of ice crystals because those cause the oil to pop a little bit. Yeah. So it's difficult to do.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a problem.
The problem is I need more hash browns. And the solution is being stymied by these careless golfers. I don't know.
I don't know either, man.
So when we talk about degrees and fraud and things like that, I've got a story here that is out of New York, okay, where there is somebody. Let me see here. I need to actually find the name of the person. So his name is Paul J. Newman, who is the president of Cohesion Studios, which is a firm that does a lot of things, but mostly what they're going to be known for now is pretending to be an architecture firm. So he kind of masqueraded saying like, yeah, no, I'm totally a registered architect. And he basically defrauded a bunch of construction companies out of designing things like townhouses or senior living stuff, like just tons of bad stuff. By allegedly falsifying building plans, code compliance inspections, and field reports, the defendant jeopardized the safety of those who resided in and frequented the buildings he contracted to work on, which is no good. So this guy's name, Paul J. Newman, no relation. Now, where this becomes interesting is, you know, when you realize that at every level of government, this isn't just like Operation Desert Shield. It's not just the Department of Defense that does this, but apparently big busts like this get names. So the New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, decided and announced that the initiative to bust this to bust up this group and, you know, charge them to the fullest extent of the law would be called Operation Vandalay Industries.
Art Vandalay.
Yeah, you know, he's an architect.
That's funny.
He aimed too small. He should have been a city planner.
Importer, exporter.
Yep. Operation Vandalay Industries. Even though the person, the leader of this group's name is Newman was not involved in Vandalay Industries. That was entirely a George Costanza, because it was a Costanza joint.
Yeah, I knew that's where you were going.
Yeah.
That's funny.
With the architecture thing, did you see that story? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
How ridiculous is that? Because that's like totally something that like just like I would do if I was presented with somebody with a Seinfeldian name pretending to be an architect. Like, yes, this makes perfect sense. This is the absolute correct decision. But somehow it's still ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, I would think that you would name those operations just something horrible. Like, or something Jesus. Like that. Well, no, because then you would keep the operation quiet.
Nobody would print it. Yeah.
Yeah. You would basically aristocrats every FBI operation.
Huh. Yeah. This just reminds me. Good God.
Just like horrible shit.
Yep. It just under the radar. Nobody wants to repeat it. It is the operation which shall not be named.
Right on, Hitler.
See, I think you found your bailiwick. I think you found your niche here, coming up with things that nobody should ever say or think.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. you should name the operations things that, you know, nobody's ever going to say.
Yeah. I'm trying desperately to like look up some of these things, because this reminds me there are all kinds of patches and insignias for government agencies, like not just military stuff, but like FBI or CIA things, like Operation, you know, Clandestine Octopus or something like that. And the patch is like this really kind of bizarrely designed thing where it's like the globe and here's an octopus, like, you know, clinging all around it, but it's for something really mundane, like for an electronic surveillance kind of thing. Like,
right.
there's this weird like heraldry that is done for a lot of this kind of stuff that nobody ever gets to see, but it's like groups of white collar government people forming a band,
like basically, yeah. Or designing their album cover,
exactly. Except they wear it.
Because can you imagine if you did that, if you named the operations horrible, horrible things, it would make every agent or collaborator on the project talk like an Italian mobster. what are you working on? Oh, the thing. You know, I'm doing the thing with a guy.
Yeah, it's the thing with the guy over in the place, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't ask questions around here. I know you're new.
All the oil, all that oil that's not ours.
Yet.
Yes.
Yep, I just made myself sad. So,
oh, it will be.
I just wanted to share that. I figured you would get a kick out of Vandalay Industries. I am due for a Seinfeld rewatch.
I did. Yeah. And I am, and I will.
Always and forever.
Right.
Tell me a story.
I came across this here just a little bit ago. And this is footage that has come out of North Korea. Kim Jong,
Kim Jong-un. Yeah.
Is it Un? Cause our president says him.
Yeah. I didn't realize you were doing a thing. Yeah. That's epidemic, at the upper levels too. Like what is it? Sessions won't say his name. Yeah, it's very, very strange.
They'll say radical Islamic terrorist, but they won't say radical North Korean leader.
Yeah. I mean, it's also kind of crazy that once they said the magic words, the problem didn't immediately go away.
They just haven't said it enough. It's not like Beetlejuice, Cole. The problem's bigger than that.
The problem is bigger than Beetlejuice. Yes. So Kim Jong-un, a.k.a. him.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, him. There's footage, believed to be about 2 months old, where Kim Jong-un is seen smoking and watching a, quote, aerial demonstration of North Korea's Air Force. pairs of Air Force pilots are seen walking around on a map painted on the ground, where one pilot holds a toy airplane made out of paper, while the second pilot holds a cardboard cutout of the interior of a fighter jet up to his face. The two proceed to walk around the map while other members of the squadron, quote, squadron, can be seen doing the same thing over different parts of the map.
Wait a minute. So did they just like find and buy the set to the Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego television show? Did Rockapella come with the set?
Rockapella. I don't know. Gumshoe.
Okay, so they are like practicing formations.
They're just showing how they're going to attack the world by walking around maps with pictures of cockpits in their face.
So this is what it's going to feel like if we had planes. This is what it would feel
They're just moving pieces around the map, Cole.
Yeah, yeah. Also, also pretend you've eaten. Yeah.
Where there's always enough food.
Yeah, like literally cardboard planes is what they're doing.
Hmm.
Huh. And Kim Jong-un was just like standing there looking at the smoking, saying, yes, yes, all will soon be ours.
Yes, basically.
Huh.
He keeps getting called it. They keep calling him a petulant child.
I mean, does that seem inaccurate to you?
No, I just, it's not something you hear a lot.
No, it's not. And so like, that is the crazy thing about North Korea, right? Because so much stuff about it is farcical, but it's always been really sad. Like, haha, everybody there is starving. Even I made that joke about it, but like, it is simultaneously like the hilarious pettiness of dictatorship, right? But also the real fact that in between the time when I record this and, you know, Tuesday when this comes out, like, Seattle might just be gone.
Nah, won't happen.
Yeah, or, you know, probably more likely, like, you know, some city in North Korea or in South Korea was just gone. You know, like, it's like, they, I don't know, it's not great.
No, not good at all.
Not good at all.
But paper airplanes.
But yeah, paper planes. You know, like the song. Yeah,
the song.
Yeah, that song, Paper Planes, with the
like Shooting Stars.
No, it was that song that was like in every movie trailer where the percussion track is like cash registers and guns firing and stuff.
Oh, Money.
No, yeah, Money by Pink Floyd. That's what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got another story here, but it's going to be a little bit of a walk. Are you down for it?
Yeah, go.
Okay. Do you know who the Scarlet Pimpernel is?
Yeah. I think I do.
Yeah. Like, it's
an escort?
No, it's a name. It's a name you've heard. Because like this
name you trust, a name you know,
a name you trust, a name you know. It's a name you've heard because like there have been movies and books written about this guy. So the Scarlet Pimpernel, his name is real name Graciano Messina. Okay, and he
same difference.
He ran a kind of a kidnapping wing of a lot of organized crime that ran off of the Italian island of Sardinia. Okay, the Anomia Sequestri. Yeah, Anomia Sequestri. Sorry if I'm butchering that pronunciation. But like, what they would do after World War II is make make these kidnappings of high value targets, and that actually provided a lot of income for the organized crime families, you know, after, you know, as they were like rebuilding Italy after World War II. Okay. So there you go. Like, legendary figure, incredibly notorious kidnapping ring that apparently is still in operation. Okay, and is still running in some form or function. Now, here recently, Italian police have busted a plan that has been several years in the making by the current kind of iteration of these. The gang had everything prepared in detail, saying they made several visits to the tomb over more than a year of planning, and individual members were drawing up plans and talking about stealing the body. Okay. 34 people were planning this for 1.5 years, with possibly more who were going to get busted on cocaine charges, planning to steal the body of Enzo Ferrari, who died at age 90 in 1988. So what they were going to do is rob his grave, rob the tomb, and then I guess ransom his desiccated dead ass body back to the family for some kind of, for some kind of large payout.
I've never body snatching for ransom.
Yeah. Body snatching for ransom. Body snatching the guy who founded the Ferrari company, in 1939.
Quoted as saying, my engine, our engines have souls.
did he say that really?
Yeah.
Huh.
In Italian.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
He didn't say it exactly like I said it.
You know, he said it exactly in your voice. It was
perfect,
super
perfect English.
Perfect English. So, oh. But yeah, like the guy who, you know, founded the company and probably designed the car that is on, that was on the poster on the inside of your high school locker, dead, and mobsters wanted to steal the body. That's crazy, right?
No. It's actually kind of smart
to target a body as opposed to a living person.
Yes, because I'm sure that the punishment for that is less than if you did it to a living person, and certainly less than if you did it to a child.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
So especially if, like, on your crew, if like purple and indigo, because I assume they're gonna have color names, right?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, if they were, you know, like funeral workers, you know, if you, like, for cemetery workers or people from the industry, mm-hmm. and they actually meticulously, like, you know, brought up the remains and then make sure that they were stored properly and everything, so you wouldn't even be charged with desecration of remains.
Oh yeah, so find people not only to execute this properly, but to mitigate the charges you might be liable for.
Exactly. You're not. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to prison for life for that. It's like if you did it, and then what's the, you know, then if they, okay, here's the other thing too, if they say, you know what, we don't negotiate with terrorists, we're not going to pay the ransom, if it's a live person, you got a problem. Because you either got to, yeah, keep that person or you got to kill him.
Yeah, with a dead body, you don't got a witness.
No, I mean, yeah. Okay, we're not going to pay the ransom. Cool. I'm just here.
you deal with this rotten body.
You just leave it in the Hampton Inn. You know?
Let the housekeepers.
I mean, that's one thing. This guy found a Van Gogh in his attic. Yeah, well, I found Enzo Ferrari in Hampton.
I found Enzo Ferrari's bones. Yup. They were hidden in the walls. Yeah. I could tell by the jumpsuit the skeleton was wearing.
Right.
Yeah.
It had a patch on it of an octopus crushing a light bulb.
This has been Those Damn Roskits.
Yeah, well, I found Enzo Ferrari's bones in a Hampton.
Hey, Chris, want me to tell them what they can do?
No, I'm still glamping.
You're still what, glamping?
Mm-hmm.
You're in a, yeah. I gotcha. People, if they want to support this, can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and consider kicking a couple of bucks a month over to help us out. We've got some changes to the Patreon coming up here that are going to be announced in a little bit. The lead time on these things is super weird, but keep an eye out for things a changing on the network in a good way. Other than that, ratings and reviews on iTunes are super helpful. And if you can tell some friends, that is the way that the show grows, is by word of mouth. Am I missing anything, Chris?
No, you got it.
All right. Sorry, America.
Sorry.